live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm particularly excited that today most of the talking points are not related to Brendan. Actually, all the talking points are not related to Brendan Sorsby. We can actually talk about some football. But other than that,
yeah, we very well might not ever talk about Brendan Sorsby ever again.
No. I'm telling you right now, there's no reason to. I mean, we could have talked about the Cincinnati thing that came out today, but I opted. I don't know about you.
Hold on. Everybody fought with me. They literally came out with it. And on April the 13th, just so we're all clear, Ross Dellinger reported the Cincinnati thing. Like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, for the love of God, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole again. I'm not going down that rabbit hole again. This dude cheated. I'm sorry. He cheated. And so regardless of what we want to say, Texas Tech cheated. They tried to cheat. So
I shouldn't have brought up Sorsby.
You shouldn't have brought him up.
We would have got here. We are talking about him, even though we weren't going to talk about him.
Well, I mean, it's just the truth. And so now that this has a conclusion, you know, the thing that I was told today by multiple NFL teams, I believe that every team in the NFC South will be at his quote unquote pro day. I think
all 32 teams are going to be at the pro day.
There you go. All is good in love and war. So, guess good for Brendan Sorsby, Texas Tech. I don't know. Regardless of that, that's not the only cheating that's been going on. Just ask Dabo Sweeney. Before we get into all this, do us a favor. Hit the like and share. Share to all those groups if you're on Facebook. We're not on Facebook, but use the YouTube link or Twitter link. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can put it there as well. Rate, review, and subscribe if you are listening to us on the audio version of this. And subscribe down below if you are watching on YouTube. We're glad to be powered and partnered by our good friends over at 24/7 Sports. With all the massive recruiting news that is going on, you can go over to 24/7 today and use that promo code RJ60 at checkout. When you use that promo code, you will get 60% off of that annual VIP membership. So many big time and high profile players are committing, even potentially, Joe, some five stars that are going to be flipping their commitments maybe in the coming days. So go over to 24/7 Sports today. Use that promo code RJ60 at checkout. All right. Not the only person that's been speaking about cheating, as Dabo Sweeney made headlines today, going back at this whole tampering allegation and situation between Clemson and Ole Miss. Basically, in a nutshell, and I will read what Dabo Sweeney did come out and state. He says, "I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble." Yeah, right. It's not about a certain player or anything like that. It's more about, can we do this? Is this allowed? Can an NFL team right now call up a backup and say, hey, come on over, even though you've signed a contract? Now, that is really interesting. No one really talked about a signed contract. And so in our world, I think there just needs to be clarity on what we can and cannot do. Talk about backtracking. Talk about backtracking. What did Clemson do when some other dude started committing to them in the portal? Did they start cheating and now people have stuff on them and now they're backtracking? What's the backtracking behind all of this?
And well, so, Blake,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. No, I was going to say, are we stupid? Like, seriously, are we still like, what are we missing? Are we dumb? Are we stupid? Because this is the
about what?
After the way that he's talking. The way that he's talking to people, the way that he's talking about this situation. He had an hour-long press conference about this, Blake. Are we dumb? Why does he think that this is, like, acceptable for him to backtrack like this? What is going on in his head? Blake, I'm at the point where I'm finding it harder and harder to, like, ever support Dabo. Because he just says the dumbest things. And now he's not winning. So now he just looks like a complete other buffoon. At what point does Dabo just learn to shut up? Because I think that you bring up an interesting point. I think that he just put his foot in his mouth and was just yammering I think that that's what this was.
You don't think Pete Golding is, well, do you think Pete Golding and Ron Roberts, for what it's worth, who is the mentor of Pete Golding, do you think Lane doesn't have, you know, doesn't want this fire to be put out? I mean, here's just, this whole thing is messy. You can't cry wolf. The truth of the matter was, is that, I mean, I don't know how else to say this. Why aren't you standing on all 10 toes now? Why are you backtracking now? And nothing that Dabo says, okay, changes my thought process on what happened. I see Ole Miss media reporting that, well, he only signed financial aid agreement. That's not legally binding. Okay. He was enrolled in classes. I would have assumed that in principle, he agreed to a TV rev share contract in principle. So you do have a legal ground for that. So at what point do you look at this and stop justifying that this was wrong? Now, Dabo walking it back, and just to reread what he said, there were actually a lot of things that Dabo said today, but this one was the one thing. The first thing I thought about was that he's calmed down, right? Is that he's calmed down and kind of wants to move forward, because when Dabo talked about this situation, he basically said it in the context of, we had a bad season. We have to move forward. We have to prepare for LSU. We're going down to Baton Rouge in week one. We're coming off of a bad season, and we got to respond. So can we do this? Can we not do this? There needs to be law and order, is basically what he's saying. But the context wasn't put in there, and it was horrible reporting on the clip of what he was actually – it's horrible reporting. I don't care what you tell me.
Well, I mean, I think that his whole
– can I finish? Can I please finish? It's horrible reporting when you take out the massive context to it and you don't put the context of him basically saying that I'm trying to move forward with my team. You can't just take a quote out of context and put that out there. That's exactly what he was doing. So he did backtrack. However, in the backtrack of this, he's calling out his team saying, if they don't, and this is what he said, I want Tigers that are on the prowl going for their prey. That was a quote end quote. I want dudes who want to go and be a part of Clemson and be on the attack. You can't leave that context out of there. So I say, what, two things. Number one, what happened to where he vastly changed his mind and kind of walked it back? But number two, I think he was more sending a statement to his team saying, he ain't here. What are we going to do about it? I mean, look, they're not going to do anything about it. The NCAA is not doing anything about it. Can we do this? I mean, because I was told that we couldn't do this. But now we got to focus on our guys going into LSU week one. That's how I take what he's stating.
I think that what he said was I think that there was, he repeated what he said.
And multiple times.
What he said in here was that he wasn't, my problem with his statement, Blake, and I think that it was very clear that he was getting at, that he was, I don't think he was backtracking. I really don't think that he was backtracking. I don't think that there is anything out there that is going to get popped for him for how he was operating. I see this as him trying to reframe the situation so he doesn't look like he's the instigator in this circumstance. I think that he's trying to come off like he's not the one who's causing the problem, even though he is the one causing the problem. I mean, how many times have you interacted with somebody who's operated like this where he's saying, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. I just want to know how this works. I just want to know how this.
My previous employment was literally 365.
But to do this whole bit of, I don't want anyone to get in trouble. I just want to know how this works. So he's playing dumb. That was what I was getting at the beginning. He's like playing dumb. Like, well, I don't have a problem with, he's trying to say, I don't have a problem with Pete Golding. Pete Golding didn't do anything wrong. The hour-long press conference that he had says otherwise. Pulling all that evidence, there wouldn't be an investigation. He would not have reported Ole Miss if he didn't want them to get in trouble. He was seeing red. He was seeing red after everything that had happened in January, and he was going after Ole Miss. I think that this is him doing the usual crap where he has no filter, and I'm over it. I'm so completely over him just saying whatever the hell he feels like, especially when he's trying to make us feel stupid for implying that he does not have a malicious intent for reporting Ole Miss. You would not have reported Pete Golding if you did not want them to get in trouble. If you had an issue, you would have, and just wanted to learn how it works, you would have gone to the NCAA and asked for clarity. That's how the difference would have been.
Well, they haven't. To his point, they haven't. And listen, I don't really give two Rudy Poos what he says. Okay? This is not right. Like, Ole Miss people take this as they're being played or people are out to get them. Well, okay, let's just look at the situation that you're in. Joe, have you seen over the last 2 weeks the photos of the judge of the Trinidad Chambliss case getting leaked more on Twitter? They're calling the Trinidad Files. I mean, this is getting egregious. This dude's at an Ole Miss booster rally. Like, I mean, he's on the sidelines. I mean, what are we doing? So I know that my buddy Stan, like, tagged, I think it was Rufino and Joe or AYS in it. I mean, this is getting egregious, okay? And so I look at, like, this entire situation. It's not just one thing. But it's not just you that we're targeting here, okay? I have a problem with the Darian Mensa situation. I have a problem with the Xavier Lucas situation. To be quite blunt with you, I have a problem with every one of these eligibility situations. Joe, you and I came out here. Who was the kid from Oklahoma again?
Owen Heineke.
We had a problem with, God, why is his name slipping me? Tennessee quarterback.
Joey Aguilar.
We had a problem with that. So why is it that you feel that you're being picked on? Joe, this can't happen. I don't care what Dabo says. I do feel like in the context of what he was saying, however, okay, and regardless of it, Ole Miss is going to have to wear this one on the chin. Like, everybody comes after me and says, you're just saying this because of LSU. Every time something happens with LSU, they bring up the Our Lady of the Lake Hospital situation where a recruit's dad got paid for a no-show job that resulted in $136,000, and the guy went to prison for embezzlement. John Funes went to federal jail for embezzlement. Teams that do stuff like this are going to have to wear this on the chin. Everybody's had these levels of situations that have happened to them. But it doesn't stop the fact that somebody cheated. The kid was enrolled. So not only was he enrolled, Joe, he was in class. Like, that's blatant tampering.
Yes.
Like, what is tampering? Tampering doesn't mean just because you have financial aid paperwork that is signed, it doesn't mean that it's not tampering. He is a part of a team, regardless of the contract. I just feel like Dabo just is putting his hands up and saying, I'm moving forward. And to be honest with you, I don't really hate him for that, because it's like the thing we talked about with Brendan Sorsby. If you keep fighting this over and over and over and over again, how does that affect your locker room? Instead, what he did was he went out there and said, I'm just going to say this. He basically said, screw the kid. If he doesn't want to be a part of what we're doing, screw him. And I got to be real with you. I don't blame him on that. The kid wanted more money. It is what it is. But he did say that we need more clarity on it. And he is attacking the NCAA. But let me ask you this question. If he says that he needs more clarity, has the NCAA just not said anything to him? Because you don't go out there and say that I need more clarity if the NCAA has been talking to you about this entire situation.
Like, I actually – go ahead. Sorry, finish. No, I was going to say.
I was just going to say, like, how – like, in what world would he say I need more clarity if the NCAA has been talking to him?
I think you're kind of forgetting how Dabo acts. He's really quite whiny. And he's one of these people that's really passive aggressive about things. So I actually push back on your statement where you're saying that it's the opposite of the Texas Tech and he's moving on from this. I actually think he's doing the opposite here. I think that this situation is ongoing. The investigation is ongoing. he's pissy because the results aren't happening. So now he's trying to play up his victim status even more. Oh, I don't want anybody to get in trouble. I'm not the bad guy. I'm just little old poor Dabo. We got tampered with. I have issue with him talking about it still in June. If this was going as it was supposed to be going, he should just quietly let the investigation continue. I think it's similar to the Texas Tech stuff where they continuously dug themselves into a hole. It's different because Dabo's not the one who is under investigation. He's not the one who's in trouble. But it follows the principle of you don't need to keep talking. Just let everything play out. The more that you talk about it, the worse it's going to get. Now, nothing's bad is going to happen for him. My main perspective with this is I'm tired of Dabo. Like, well, I was on his side. We're all on his side. We all agreed that this is blatant tampering. This is an obvious violation. And I would have loved for Clemson to get some justice. But now I'm at the point where I don't care anymore. I'm at the point where, Dab, if you can keep talking like this, man, you're making it hard for me to root for you in this battle.
Well, hold on now. He doesn't ask himself the questions. I mean, if we're going to – hold on. Just for example, there are outlets out there that are still previewing the LSU-Ole Miss game that happens in week 3. LSU has 2 games. Ole Miss has 2 games before they play each other. How many articles or things have you written or seen about Ole Miss versus Louisville? Where have you seen anything happening with LSU versus Clemson? So to defend him a little bit, I actually think you're right. There are times where Dabo is very passive aggressive. All the time, really, he's passive aggressive. And you can't really argue your point on that. However, he didn't ask himself the question. And there are massive outlets that keep going out there bringing up Ole Miss situations, whether it's the tampering allegation of the Luke Farrelly stance, or, Joe, there was literally a whole video from a massive outlet breaking down LSU Ole Miss. When who's the starting left guard for LSU?
I don't know.
Exactly. No one really knows. It's Bo Bordeline, by the way. But regardless of that, they're trying to continue to talk about the things that everybody knows that will get headlines. He doesn't ask himself this. He didn't ask himself the question. So
coaches turned down the question, though.
He can't say no comment in a situation like that. Coaches don't say no comment. He basically brushed it off, though. I mean, he basically I do feel like Dabo can be, as you said, very passive aggressive. But we got to put into context to what he said. What did he say? He goes, in a nutshell, and I'm paraphrasing, if you don't want to be a part of us, then fine. I mean, that the whole paragraph beforehand and the whole situation beforehand is literally Dabo saying, talking about tigers in the woods and in grass and going after their prey and striking the offseason. And he goes, we do need clarity. I ain't trying to get nobody in trouble, but we need clarity on this. I mean, the context, Joe, they took out a massive part of the context in this. We can't act as if that these headlines aren't taking out massive context in it. You have to go in there and talk about and read about what he's actually saying. Now, again, I think multiple things can be true, and I do think that he's taking small little pot shots at Pete. Why wouldn't he? But he doesn't ask himself those questions in those press conferences. I've seen multiple coaches around the country since we've been doing this now going on, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. When they say no comment, it actually fuels the flames even more. Because you know and I know what would have happened when he would have said no comment. Ross Dellinger, Pete Thamel, Matt Zenitz, all of them would have gone to the NCAA and would have said, if he's saying no comment, that would lead me to believe that this investigation is getting serious. So he just walked it back. So we've seen coaches do this in the past. I'm sorry. The context was taken out of what he was actually saying. And even though I do agree with the passive aggressive part from you, I mean, I do feel like a no comment would have been just as bad.
I don't know. I don't agree with any of that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be like blah. I just don't agree with. I think the context was pretty direct. The whole story was about how he is returning from a bad season and how he kept talking up how everything was going. It was at the very end of the story, and what he addressed it and he talked about it in a way that he should not have talked about it. Okay, there's so the right way, right, right or wrong question. Way to respond to it.
Okay, let me ask this question. There's 17 other paragraphs, and what he said about Ole Miss is at the bottom. Why run the one smallest paragraph in that versus everything else that he said?
Because it's the most interesting quote that he, because the rest of it's just a bunch of crap. Like, it's just a bunch of, it's just Dabo rambling about how I won so many games, but everybody says I'm falling off. I think that it was the most interesting thing in the entire story. It should have probably only been.
He is narcissistic with that.
Yeah.
I mean, he is narcissistic with it. All I'm saying is that if I read a 500-page Harry Potter book, the one thing that I'm not going to just pull out is a small paragraph at the bottom that's the most juicy that Harry Potter died.
Well, it's because how aggregation works.
Well, I mean, you got to call it out. What do you, let me ask before we move on, what should he have said then? What would have been a reasonable response?
I think that he could have said, my thoughts on this I've already shared my thoughts on this and the investigation is still ongoing. I think that that would have been he spent an entire press conference outlining his problems with it. And I believe he spoke on this a separate instance, unless I'm wrong. I think that he did not need to re-dig into this. If he was any reporter is going to ask about the most controversial thing that's happened in the offseason, they're going to ask him about this. He did not need to respond to it. He could have just rested on his previous statements. And I also don't think that he needed to frame it the way that he did, where he was trying to play victim.
He should play victim. He is. They are the victim.
Yeah, but it's just, it's whiny and lame to do it like this, to do that. Okay, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble.
Hold on now. He ain't the one that's been out there tampering like everybody else. If anybody has a stance to come down and say that I haven't been doing this level of stuff, it's him.
But everybody's already on his side. Everybody's already on his side. So why did he have to like frame it like this? That he clearly wants them to get in trouble. He clearly does. He's lying to us. He thinks we're stupid. My bit.
Okay. I hope they do get in trouble. They're not going to. Probably. I mean, I just don't see the NCAA coming down on anything until this PC. This PCSA gets passed.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move forward here. Oh, finally, we are back. Let's talk about some actual football. Joe, we have not been able to do one of these in like 66 weeks. At least is what it feels like. But we get back to actually talking about on the field as tonight we continue on our path of breaking teams down. And in breaking teams down, we go to the great state of Washington. Seattle, Washington, where the Washington Huskies reside. Joe, coming off of a pretty good year this past season, Demond Williams actually is going to return. I do wonder what that locker room is going to be like. But what are your thoughts going into the 2026 season? And is Washington the team that everybody needs to watch out for in the Big Ten in 2026?
Yeah, but like I really do think that Washington has an opportunity to do some damage this upcoming year. I don't know if I can fully get to them getting into the college football playoff, but they certainly have the talent to do so. They're replacing a lot, especially on their defense. They only have three returning defensive starters, but they've got a lot of key pieces on offense coming back where it matters the most. They have three starting offensive linemen coming back from last year. They are 23rd in the country in offensive line snaps from last season returning. They're 37th overall in returning snaps. So they've got a lot of guys that have played. On defense, their linebacker quarter is experienced. They've got a lot of new faces that are coming in, especially in their secondary. But the big motivation for buying into this Washington team is Damon Williams. Damon Williams is incredibly talented, and he is very unique. He was 13th in EPA per drop back in 2025. He is compact. He is shifty. He is very Kyler Murray-esque in his ability to evade pressure, to throw on the run, despite being as small as he is. But they're going to have to show us a lot of things with many of the new faces that are coming to the table. We'll get to their schedule a little bit later on in this preview. It's quite favorable considering who they don't have to play. But their success rides off of the fact that they've got one of the most talented quarterbacks in the country, so talented that teams tried to get him to enter the transfer portal despite him having signed a contract and being locked in for 2026. I like this Washington team, and I really, really like Damon Williams.
So I start this off by asking probably the elephant in the room question. What is the reception in that locker room for Damon Williams? Is it that players look at this and say, hey, you know, you were in a sticky situation. You were getting bad advice. This thing got, because here's the truth. Okay. If there's anybody that can talk about this, I think it's us. I'm not, you know, I come out with some out of left field stuff, but there was a memorial when the story leaked about Damon Williams. Okay. For an athlete that was on campus. The only people that I know that would have wanted this leaked before he completely and fully entered the transfer portal was Washington. So I do think that both parties don't have clean hands on this one. With that being said, look, Damon Williams on the field is a special player. He's been a special player. I think he will continue to be a special player. You know how much I love quarterbacks that are really accurate. He is. He's a 71% completion percentage guy. He's got to take care of the turnovers and interceptions. But he has all of the ability to be a really good college quarterback, if not more than that. Joe, I look at this situation and ask, I look at their wide receiver core and I ask, how are you going to be able to do and replace some of the things that you're losing there? I look at their offensive line and ask, can they continue to be as physical at times as they were last year? I don't know what you're really going to be returning at running back. The two guys that you brought in don't have a lot of experience. And is this offense going to be very much of a testament to what Damon Williams can do with his feet? And so I look at them and say, there's massive question marks. We don't know what we don't know. So they brought in multiple guys at the wide receiver position, but not enough to where I think it could be an ultimate game changer to make a push in the Big Ten. Now, defensively, I look at them and say, can Jacob Lane build off of having 8.5 tackles for loss and 4 sacks a season ago? I know that Ward had 2 sacks a season ago. You got some shakeup in your front 7. You talked about the experience at linebacker that can play for them. Joe, I feel as I look at them that they have a lot of really good talent, but very inexperienced talent. And so normally when that happens, and what we've learned in the portal era is either you're going to really hit or you're going to really miss. And I just don't know which one that they're going to get. Now, you got a lot of true freshmen at the receiver position. You don't really know what you got at running back. Is Damon Williams going to be able to take the leap that he needs to, and is he going to have the support around him to do that?
So a couple of things in response to what you brought up there. First, the Damon Williams thing, you do bring up a good point with the temperature in the locker room. Chris Hummer and Matt Zinitz had reported a few months ago, or about a month ago, that the team has moved on. We have to take that with a grain of salt. But CBS Sports guys reporting that it seems like things are okay in the locker room. I'm sure that there's still people that are pissed about it and not happy. And I'm sure some coaches probably hold it against him.
Wait until adversity hits. Wait until a first loss hits.
Right. You lose a game. He has a bad interception. Whatever it is, someone brings it up. And that ends up turning into a serious fight, a serious problem. Anyone who's been in a college.
Not everybody in that locker room is on the same page with him. You and I have been too many. No, they're not. No way.
I've witnessed some wild locker room fights when I was in college, and it was always over some of the dumbest things. People would bring up past situations, whether it was on the field in games, whether it was something that happened on a weekend. These are guys in their 20s, so there's certainly going to be people that are pissed.
On-field game fights, like when there's a fight about something that happened on the field, are always the most violent.
We lost a game at UNH, I think it was my junior year, senior year, and one of our star receivers like starts trash in the locker room, and one of our starting centers starts yelling at him and yelling at everybody because our team, a bunch of guys on our team, went to a Migos concert the day before the game. Nobody knew this, but it's the point where that didn't need to get brought up. It turns personal when you lose a football game. Who knows what happens with DeMond Williams?
What is Migos, by the way?
You know what Migos is? They're a rap group. They were like the hottest.
I'm making a joke. Okay. I'm making a joke. You don't remember John Gruden asking the dudes in the quarterback thing? He goes, "What is Migos?"
I know the clip you're talking about. to just add, though, you brought up a couple of things with some of these position groups. Desmond Roebuck, who was a freshman last year.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
Solid receiver. Another CBS Sports article that I was reading that I believe was also Hummer and Zenitz highlighted that a source within Washington, it was breaking down like each team, which player they think is going to break out and have a huge season. And the player that they highlighted is a former three-star running back, Quaid Carr. I believe that's how you pronounce that. And they have a belief that he's going to be the next Jonah Coleman. They think he's going to be that next elite running back. Like they just got out of Coleman last year. There is a lot of confidence in what he brings to the table. And we know that Fish has been the type of coach offensively that has relied upon on these more compact running backs to lead their offense. So Carr could be a major catalyst, an underrated star for this team based on some of that reporting. The last thing I want to add for up-and-comers, they had a really actually good recruiting class in 2025 going into 2026. Their 2026 class was really good. Their starting left tackle right now is projected to be a former five-star, Cody Green. He stepped in the spring. He was a first-team starter apparently the whole spring. Nobody batted an eye, and he just looked like a three-year vet. That was apparently how good he was on some of the stuff I was reading on Dog Man, which is the 24/7 sports site for Washington. And they also got high hopes for Derek Coleman Brusa, who was the highest-rated kid in the state of Washington, who apparently has made a lot of great waves as well, and the coaching staff seems to love him. So it's always positive when you've got a team like this that's replacing a ton, that is bringing in elite freshmen like this, and they're already making a ton of noise.
I do think they bring back some really good pieces defensively. I look at, as an example, Alex McLaughlin, who had 93 tackles a season ago with 3 tackles for loss. I like some of the pieces that they have in their secondary. Joe, I just don't know where the pass rush is going to come from. I look at Jacob Lane and ask, can he take that next step? Maybe. But they don't have a lot of production there. Maybe they're able to do that. I do like what Fish has done. I do think they've done a good job at running back. But Jonah Coleman was doing Jonah Coleman things before, you know. Like, Jonah Coleman was going to be Jonah Coleman, right? Like, you knew what you were getting from him. So, look, these are one of these deep dives that I look at this and say, hey, this is a top 200 guy on 24/7's board a couple of seasons ago. He has a chance to do something really good, or this guy had some production. Like, as an example, they went out and got Kennesaw State wide receiver. You talked about Roebuck. He had 689 yards last year. But, Joe, that's Kennesaw State. He's not going up against level of opponents at Kennesaw State. So maybe, you know, like what let me ask you this. I'm going to take this a different way. Why do I feel like that they have a lot of talent without really not knowing exactly who Washington can be?
Because Fish did this at Arizona. That's why I feel like we don't know a lot of these players. And Jed Fish,
it feels like New England, where he came from with Belichick. It kind of feels
the same thing. It's the same deal.
Like, who knew that Chris Hogan was working at Subway and then all of a sudden led the AFC East in receiving? The dude literally was going in between Subway and Waffle House working two jobs. Like, that. I know we make jokes about that. That's like, it's funny, but it ain't really. It's not really. I mean, did you scout? Here's the thing that I'd say. Did they scout at an elite level? Because if they did, then you can work with something. But I just don't, like, I don't know what I don't know. And this isn't a conference, and we'll get to their schedule in a minute, but this isn't a conference. Joe, the SEC and Big Ten, when it comes down to it, can we just be blunt? Mm-hmm. The team with the most dudes normally wins. Or if you have a very special quarterback, like, look at the teams that are winning. Now, can you have an upset here or there? Yes. But I don't know what I don't know on them. Like, I look at, like, of the big power teams in the Big Ten, Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, I think we pretty much know what we're getting from Penn State, USC. Joe, we kind of know what we're getting. Like, we have an idea. And those teams lost a lot of dudes. I look at Washington and say, I really don't know. Like, I really don't know. I mean, outside of DeMont, there are some players that we do. Like, we talked about McLaughlin. But what if you're in a situation where Roebuck has to be your number one wide receiver? Like, are you putting your chips in that when you got to convert a pass on third and long, that DeMond Williams, who struggled with interceptions at the end of the year, is going to be able to complete that to a guy that we don't know if can get separation in the Big Ten or not?
I think it's a good question, because Denzel Boston was really good last year for this Washington team. He was really productive. So having to replace a guy that was picked really early in the 2026 NFL draft, it's going to take some time. But the one bit here, and you kind of just alluded to it, Jed Fish has been really good at getting the most out of his roster. And we have seen previously, like, Terrell McMillan, I understand he was a five-star recruit. He's a very highly recruited kid. But they were able to find highly impactful receivers throughout the entire time when he was at Arizona. I believe Jacob Cowling is another one of those guys that fits that description who did really well. I think that the system sets up for success because DeMond Williams is the right guy for it. You kind of saw that with Noah Fifita originally, mm-hmm. where smaller guy, accurate, quick with the ball in his hands, good improviser, all of those things. I think that with DeMond Williams, the level of athlete that he is takes this offense to a new level that we saw last year more than Fifita could. So it, mm-hmm. to me, is one of those circumstances where, yeah, we need to find out who is going to be the big dog in the receiving room. We need to find out, can Carr actually be the Jonah Coleman replacement? Can Cody Green be a stud freshman left tackle who goes on to become a future first-round pick? Can all these things align? DeMond Williams is that type of player, Blake, I truly believe, that can elevate everybody around him. Now, I need to see better performances in all of their big games because there was inconsistency from DeMond Williams. But from an average performance for how he played last year, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And the NFL is really high on him. He's got some really good grades per NFS. So there's a belief that he's got the upside to be a starter in the NFL too, potentially. Williams has the goods. This has always been a well-coached team and a well-developed roster because Jed Fish is one of the most underrated coaches in college football.
Did they hit in the four guys that they brought along the defensive line up front?
Yep.
That's a real question too. So you want to take a look at their schedule?
Yes, let's look at their schedule. All right. Upcoming year, there should be wins, games that I think that they're not going to have much trouble with. Versus Wazoo, understandably it's a rival, but they have a much better roster than Wazoo. Versus Utah State, versus EWU, and at Purdue. The tough matchups that I think that are likely winnable, but are still going to be games that they need to play well in, versus Minnesota, versus Iowa, at Nebraska, versus Penn State, and at Michigan State. And then my toss-ups, USC at USC, versus Indiana at Oregon. They do not play Ohio State. They do not play Michigan. So that to me, Blake, is a very advantageous schedule for them to finish the year 9-3, assuming they don't have a Wisconsin mishap like they did a year ago.
I can't. I think that's the ceiling for them, Joe, to be completely blunt with you. Because I look at them like I get that you get Iowa at night at 8 p.m. I can see Iowa using their game plan on how they do things and keeping the ball away from you, playing a lot of really good defense and giving you problems, right? Like,
yeah, we don't know. We know very little about Iowa, though. I feel like Iowa lost a lot. Wisconsin
completely sucked, and I don't know if this team is better and they lost. I mean, like, I don't see them going to L.A. and winning. I can't see them going to Oregon and winning. I can't see them beating Indiana. And I got to be completely blunt with you. The two away games, I know Purdue stinks, and I get it. But Barry Odom is still a really good coach. And at Nebraska, I mean, like, I think they're 8-4, 9-3. Because I don't see them beating USC, Indiana, and Oregon. I just don't see it. And I do think that there's a slip up in there somewhere. I don't know where it is. I don't really I think they can beat Penn State. Penn State going across the country, God knows when that time of game is going to be. Like, I think they can handle that. They got to go to Michigan State. I don't know what to think about Michigan State at the current moment. I just think that there's too many question marks for me at the current moment, Joe, to where I think 9-3 is the ceiling, but I do think 8-4 is the floor, and that's just where I'm going to have them at. I lean more to 8-4 than I do 9-3 for what it's worth.
I've got a slightly wider projection than you do. I think that 8-4 is the floor for me because I think Fish has established what the floor is. Having a favorable schedule to not face Ohio State or Michigan, but still getting a tough draw of teams, it leaves a cushion for them to have a Wisconsin-like performance where they play like crap and they lose a game that they're not supposed to. But I do think that going into year three, second year starting for Damon Williams, that they should have that out of their system. If Jed Fish has a problem like that and they do lose a game like that, then we need to have a conversation about how good of a coach is Jed Fish actually. I think he's a great coach, so I don't have as much of a worry in that regard. I think that if everything...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, if everything comes to fruition and Damon Williams goes from being the 13th best quarterback in EPA per dropback and maybe plays that potential of being on the cusp of a Heisman conversation, he's that good. He's that physically gifted. Big programs wanted this kid for a reason.
Yeah, everybody wanted him.
But everybody wanted him.
But at the same time, Oregon, LSU, and Miami have far better weaponry around him than what Washington does. And
but
so,
you're telling me that if he goes off, couldn't upset. We say this all the time in these previews. Oh, maybe you just did it, which we should do. We should have skepticism about some opponents that maybe aren't as good as them, but could surprise them. You're saying, if Damon Williams doesn't explode and have a great game, he couldn't upset a USC or an Indiana. I think Oregon's the one I draw the line on, but in USC or Indiana.
Okay, name the signature win for Jed Fish since he's been at Washington. I literally just went, there isn't one.
He's 2 years in. He's 3 years in.
Fair. But, Joe, they've been barely able to move the football. And I don't think they're better offensively around him. To your point, if they do that, he is going to have to go off. He can't throw for 129 yards against Oregon. He can't have mishaps versus a team like Wisconsin. But see, here's the thing in the Big Ten. Joe, that game was on the road. Like, they had to fly across country in an early game across the country, and it just didn't work. Now, Roebuck, you know, you bring him up. Like, I think he's still really good. I just think they're 8-4, 9-3. I just don't think there's a lot of wiggle room for them. I don't think they're a playoff caliber team. So forgive me. It's just where I am on them right now. I'm going to have to see it. There's just too many question marks. I do feel like he's cut from the Belichick cloth, and maybe he hit some studs that were working at a local Waffle House. Just a joke, clearly. But it's where I sit with them. I do think that they're not going to lose some of these games, like they're going to be undefeated going into LA. I think that that's fair. Washington State, Utah State, Eastern Washington, Minnesota. Like, I think they're undefeated going into that. But I don't know, like, USC, Iowa, Nebraska, Penn State, Indiana, Oregon. I could see four losses in there. Actually, I do see four losses in there. Like, I think you split Nebraska and Penn State, to be completely blunt with you.
I have higher hopes for them. I think when you have a special quarterback like Damon Williams, which he is a very gifted player, you're not losing games like that. I don't think Damon Williams gets enough hype for how good he could be this upcoming year.
I think he can, but again, he had Boston last year, he had Jonah Coleman, and we're speculating of guys who we think could go off. I mean, you know who else could go off? Jaden Maiava. You know who else could go off? I don't believe he ever will. Rocco Becht. I mean.
All right. See, this is how I know I can't trust you. I can't trust your opinion here because you didn't. No, we got to move on. You got to move on. There's no way you just said that and we're going to act like that was a serious statement from you.
He sucks.
Are you okay? Do we need to worry about you that you almost just implied Rocco Becht could go off?
I mean, he stinks. All right, let's move forward. Remember when everybody said in the beginning of the season after week zero that he very well could be the best quarterback in the country?
Yes, it was the stupidest thing on the planet that everybody was doing that. It was the dumbest thing ever. Everybody watched, but that was the definition of one football game happened and it was the only football game on and everyone overreacted to week zero.
Who plays in week zero this year?
It is, I think it's North Carolina and somebody. Yeah, North Carolina and TCU, they play in
Ireland. Oh, you know what's going to happen.
What?
North Carolina's going to find a way to win, and everybody's going to say that Bill Belichick's
back.
Yeah. He's back.
NC State also plays Virginia. Oh, and okay. Hawaii at Stanford. Those are kind of about it.
We'll see. All right. Before we wrap up here, Joe, let's get to this. A lot has been made over the last couple of days of the Protect College Sports Act. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. We got a pair of super chats, but just did want to mention it. Joe, there's been a lot of pushback to this bill. Tommy Tuberville, the old Auburn, Ole Miss, and Texas Tech head coach, came out and is going to be the new governor of the great state of Alabama, has come out against this bill. The SEC and the Big Ten had a meeting with Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell that, quite frankly, went unfounded, as Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell came out and said that they are not going to change the TV revenue, or excuse me, the pulling of media rights, and that they're also not going to change the Super League language. Senator Tommy Tuberville, I thought yesterday, put Maria Cantwell in an outright blender, saying that there should be no congressional oversight for realignment. What are your thoughts about now the SEC, Big Ten, and now a sitting governor and congressman who's actually been a coach in college football coming out against this act? Now, this does come on the heels of the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball all coming out with statements saying that they agree with this bill. Well, of course they agree with the bill. They don't need anything from the bill because they don't want the chaos to continue. With that being said, what are your thoughts of this situation and Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell not backing down, even though Tuberville is warning them?
Well, to really quickly address the players' associations for all those other leagues championing the Protect College Sports Act and everything. Yeah, there's a reason why they're cool with it, because in their world, they are the entities that protect the players. There is a collective bargaining agreement. What's happening with college athletics is far more complex. So I rolled my eyes at those updates when they came out over the past couple of days, because it's like, who cares? They don't have the same situation going on. They're not going to be able to look at it in the same lens. Of course, they're going to support it because there's more protections for players, but it is a tenth of the degree of what it would be like if they had a collective bargaining agreement. Separate issue. Like I said this to you pre-show, I can't believe that I am sitting on this show right now saying that I agree with Tommy Tuberville. I can't believe it. I didn't know that this was on the table, and maybe that's on me. Maybe it's also on college football media not doing a good job of enough of covering this and the possibility of this, it doesn't sound like it'll go through because it does not have bipartisan support. He is not as good of a, he's not as good as getting as many people to support him like the Cruz Cantwell bill.
Mm-hmm.
Blake, the fact that this is exactly what we said on the show, why does the Protect College Sports Act have to have involvement in conferences? Why does it have to have involvement in TV deals, the pooling of media rights, all of the nonsensical crap that is a government overreach? The main important concepts that were impactful were the ones that were in Tuberville's bill. We should be supporting this. More people need to be supporting this. The 5 for 5, the one penalty-free transfer, sit out if you transfer a second time, protect scholarships, and empower the NCAA to enforce its basic rules. I don't understand why this is so complicated. Why did Tuberville or why did Cantwell and Cruz complicate this so much? Why are they fighting back?
Because here's my opinion. I want to see next quarter the political contributions for them. And I'm searching for three names. Their last names all end in Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just being completely blunt. Ted Cruz getting money from Cody Campbell. Okay. We already know that. I don't want this to be political. I think Ted Cruz is being very narcissistic. I think Maria Cantwell is being very narcissistic. What do you mean you can tell us what we do and don't know about college? You don't know anything. They're trying to protect Olympic sports. With all due respect, I understand that. I get that. That's cute. They don't make no money. Joe, that makes zero money. Football should be protected at all causes. To your point about the MLBPA, how dumb is Rob Manfred? Because just throwing this out there for everything it's worth, you do know how baseball works. I know this is a football show, but juniors get leverage because they can fight with agents, or agents can fight for them for MLB teams, because these things are slotted and have slot values, but contracts are negotiated well beforehand when dudes get selected. Like, as an example, in the NFL, it doesn't work this way. But you can take a high school player in the first round and pay him $800,000 and then take a college player in the second round and pay him $2 million. There are players in Major League Baseball that could make $3 million even taken in the third round, okay? The 5 for 5 rule is going to hurt Major League Baseball. It's going to kill them. Because now juniors can wait for their senior year, because now you have 5 years to wait. 5 years. So I can play 4 years of college ball and use that extra year of leverage against you. Dumb. Here's the truth. Tuberville was right on one thing. We don't need congressional oversight. They are not fighting over the... Look, I think that they're fighting over the pulling of media rights because they're getting paid to do it. What they really want is to have the power of alignment. That's what this all fight is for them. Now, Nick Saban, I actually agree with Tommy Tuberville. At the end of the statement, Saban said, there should be no congressional oversight on this. Joe, this bill can't pass. As much as I want it to, as much as I want rule and law and order in the sport that we love so much, this bill can't pass. Because the pulling of media rights and because of congressional oversight, that's too risky of a situation for this bill to pass. I'm sorry, it's got to fail, and the Wild Wild West has to continue. I know it's not what everybody wants to hear. I'm with you. I want the 5 for 5 rule. I want the transfer rule. Even though I think I don't completely agree with it, I would even concede the point of the quote-unquote Lane Kiffin rule if it put guardrails in place, even though I don't completely agree with it, Joe, this can't pass. And I know when you say stuff like this and you have people backing it, that you can say, well, Blake just wants law and order. No, I don't. Or doesn't want law and order. Yes, I do want law and order. But the bottom line remains here is that the pulling of media rights and the congressional oversight literally will make this so much worse than where things sit right now. Joe, what if hype and happenstance, Congress comes to a situation and say, hey, we want to add Florida State or UNC or Notre Dame in 10 years for whatever reason wants to join a conference, and Congress has the ability to shoot it down. What if a team just wants to go independent? The contracts are up and they say, and a school says, hey, I want to go independent. How do you have, how can the federal government, who doesn't know how to balance their own budget, get the oversight of a sport as this one? It shouldn't have it. And for that, I'm just going to go ahead and say what everybody's probably thinking. I'm sorry. I don't think that this should pass. I will never support this bill because of those two main reasons, Joe. I hate that we're not going to get the things that we need, but there's too much risk involved in all of this. And I agree with everything that Tommy Tuberville pretty much stated yesterday in the five main points that he brought up.
Yeah, I second that. I think that the main points being the most critical issues absolutely need to be the ones that are focused on. And I think that we're overcomplicating this entire thing by getting congressional involvement in all of those broader issues. They are far too vast and far too complex for the government to get involved. Many of those issues, the only way that they get solved or they occur is just through the history of the sport continuing. And basically what I mean with that is contracts, media rights contracts need to happen based on conference performance. And when they renegotiate, certain conferences don't perform well, they're not going to make as much money. The expectation of pooling of media rights is a pipe dream. It is a pipe dream by a man who is supporting this bill because he wants his team to get more money, because he knows nobody wants to take Texas Tech. Nobody is going to bring in Texas Tech. The SEC and we in the Big Ten, we talked about this. If they tried to leave the Big 12, where would they go that would be super enticing? The only way to bolster their position would be to pool their media rights, to get more money that way, to build a larger counter to what the SEC and the Big Ten are doing. So I'm out on this, to your point. I am a little bit more supportive of the Protect College Sports Act because I do think that we need something, but I hope that logic can prevail and there isn't stubbornness from Cantwell and Cruz.
Oh, there's already stubbornness.
Yeah, I know that there is. Maybe they change their mind. Maybe somebody can convince them, because what Tuberville brought to the table somehow is actually, it's a logical premise.
No, it's not only logical, it's the right thing. Take the pulling of media rights out. It's none of your business. Joe, quickly before we move on here and get the super chats, when does the government ever get involved in other businesses' finances? You know what's going to happen here if this passes. The SEC and Big Ten are going to sue and they're going to win. You can't. The government controlling the finances of a third party business?
Yeah.
Because that's what the SEC and Big Ten are. So good luck with that. Complete joke. Underdog with a $5 super chat says, give me y'all's candidates for games of the year 2026-2027.
So we did a segment on this. Appreciate the super chat. But some of the ones that we talked about, Miami, Notre Dame, Ole Miss versus LSU, Ohio State, Texas is another one. But we did a whole video on this. You should go check that out if you missed it.
Absolutely. He also says, what do y'all expect from Josh Hoover in Indiana? A lot of interceptions.
I'm high on Hoover. I think that his interceptions are going to go down because he's playing in a quarterback friendly system that makes a lot of predetermined decisions for him. It's very RPO heavy. So I think he's going to be a little bit cleaner, but I like Hoover.
That's my fear. Fernando was very smart. Fernando is very smart. However, make the wrong read like you did at TCU.
He's got to reel it back.
He's reeled it back.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. If he's throwing 30 interceptions in 3 years in the Big 12, what happens in the Big 10?
That's a good point.
Come on. Sorry, guys, says Royce. $50 super chat. I haven't caught y'all live in a long time. I promise you, I've been listening to all the shows. I'm so happy for y'all's new partnership with 24/7. Y'all keep killing it. Go Tigers, go Irish, and go college football in general.
Thanks, Royce.
Yeah, it's been a good month. It's been a very good month over to go at 24/7 Sports and a lot of recruiting news. That's why you need to use that promo code RJ60. How about that? We're getting out in time today. Brendan,
we are getting out of time. But speaking of 24/7 Sports, we're going to be live on Friday again on CBS Sports Network.
CBS Sports
Network. 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes. Yes. Come watch it. My mom had a proud mom moment on Facebook. I don't know.
Oh, that's awesome. I did see that. I opened Facebook. She had like 300 likes. I'm like, is Blake's mom an influencer?
I have VPs texting me saying, who's Cookie? And I'm like, Cookie's my mom. You know, she's a proud mama, you know? All right. Anyway, see y'all Friday. Till then, peace.